In the midst of the delivery, with the head actually crowning, the distinguished elderly French obstetrician placed his gloved hand to impede progress, looked about, and hissed accusingly, "There is a draft in here." The French detestation of drafts is a well-known trait, but a passion so great as to arrest the course of a delivery was unnerving. Medical adventures at the hospital were punctuated by tours of Paris, its boulevards and parks, then free of traffic, and by heady nights on the town with colleagues. For the equivalent of a couple of dollars, we dined sumptuously, attended the sophisticated plays of the Comédie Française, the grandest performances of the Paris Opera, and the most elegant musical concerts at Salle Pleyel. Returning to the hospital late one night to my top-floor quarters, overlooking the city, I was summoned for an emergency, a patient with a severed popliteal artery and much blood loss. A technician had done the blood typing and cross-matching, but on reporting the results gave us the incredible news that the hospital had no blood bank and that there was no ready blood source available in Paris during the night. As we prepared for surgery, she left and returned with an apparatus appearing to come from a medieval museum. She also had in tow a character out of Pantagruel, an immense wine-soaked maintenance man from the boiler room, whom she introduced to us as the hospital's type O negative universal donor. His purple hulk was then gowned and masked and seated next to the patient. While we learned on the spot to operate the primitive transfusion instrument, with one huge needle in the donor's arm, another in the recipient's, the handle was turned halfway counterclockwise to load the container and halfway clockwise to deliver blood in measured 20 milliliter amounts. The very next day, with a consulting hematologist, we interns from America set up a primitive citrated blood bank. We also learned that some French practices, so quaint to us, weren't all that bad. There may be something to be said for the use in debilitated patients of rectal suppositories or proctoclysis for administering medications. But I drew the line with one common treatment. On a winter night's call to the emergency room, I found an elderly man in great respiratory distress with pneumonia. Removing his sweaty garments, I was amazed to observe large, perfectly circular hematomas widely distributed over the back and shoulders, with tic-tac-toe-like lacerations through each mysterious circle. Even in that innocent time, I could only suspect some bizarre masochistic habit or ceremonial rite. When the supervising night nurse arrived, she was vastly amused at my puzzled first encounter with cupping and scarification, a standard folk practice of counter-irritant therapy. The strange and wonderful French culture held many pleasures and surprises for us American interns. The elegant French logic and cool rationality clashed everywhere with equally French charm and vivacity, medical dogma and tradition. Among these clashes was an experience at the first Christmas party held in the hospital foyer, complete with champagne. There, two of the senior grand patrons twirled tiny gold spoons attached to their gold watch chains through their glasses of the bubbly. It was a studied, graceful maneuver, apparently an old and dear tradition. But this affectation effectively removed all the tiny bubbles which Messrs. Mom and Piper Hedeck had spent so many years carefully nurturing in their champagnes.